You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are visiting with both Jim Wright and John Fadiman, who started Harvest Financial Partners in 2008 to provide investment management and financial planning advice to individuals and small business owners. Both Jim and John have over 25 years of investment and financial services experience. Gentlemen, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
You are both welcome. So, Jim, starting off, tell us about your firm, Harvest Financial Partners.
Sure. I should start with the fact that John and I have started this firm in 2008, but we've known each other since college. We both went to Vassar College together. In fact, we were roommates for a couple years. And so we've known each other quite a while. We went on different career paths. John started off as a bank lending officer, then moved into financial planning. And along the way, he got his law degree. I started in the trust department, but have worked as an investment guy, both managing portfolios and as an analyst. And so a few years ago, we started talking. We thought we had very complementary skills, me on the investment side, John on the financial planning side, and we decided to form our own firm. So we started in 2008, and our goal was to provide independent advice and guidance for individuals and small businesses. We thought that there was just something was lacking in the marketplace. I should say on the investment side, I'll focus a little bit on that. We personalize portfolios to meet our clients' needs. We don't have models that we use, and we try to fit our clients into. Everything is personalized for our clients. We use individual stocks, we use individual bonds, mutual funds, and exchange-traded funds. Just a little focus, I think that one thing that differentiates us a little bit is that we do use stocks. We don't just allocate mutual funds, and our stock picking style really focuses on three things: quality, dividends, and valuation. Every stock that we buy, every company we own, we want to make sure it's high quality, and that's often in the eye of the beholder. But we're really looking for companies with strong management teams, good balance sheets, those that generate a lot of cash, and have strong products or strong market positions. Every company that we buy has to pay a dividend, and then we're only going to buy those quality companies when their valuation is inexpensive or cheap. We recognize price is really important, and just because there's a lot of good companies out there, but if the price isn't right, they don't make a good investment.
So why the focus on dividends in your investment process?
That's a good question. We there's a lot of talk and has been a lot of talk more recently about dividends, but we have been fond of dividends since we started our firm, but even prior to that. And that's in part because there's just been a number of academic studies that have been done over time that and all tend to show that dividend-paying stocks outperform the market. Maybe not for short periods, but over extended periods of time, dividend-paying stocks have been a great place to be. So we think that's an important starting point. Also, dividends provide a steady stream of cash flow for our clients. Some of our clients are retired, or they need to live off of their assets, and those dividends provide cash that they can use to spend on rent, utilities, etc. We have other clients that don't need the cash right now, that money from the dividends can be reinvested back in the portfolio, hopefully into other high quality investments. Dividends also allow us to focus a little bit on the income stream coming from a portfolio and take people's eyes a little bit off just the fluctuation in the underlying asset value. Markets have been very volatile lately, and they've been more volatile certainly over time, and yet income and the income generated by dividends has been a lot more stable, and that's important. If we buy a stock and its price may fluctuate a little bit, and hopefully will go up over time, but the income generated is going to be a lot steadier. It's going to be a lot more stable, and hopefully will grow as the companies increase their dividends.
Well, how are you different from the many other advisory firms that are out there?
Well, this is a business that there are a lot of people out there, and it's hard to be totally unique, and I don't know that we are completely unique, but I think some things that we do a little different is we're independent. We don't work for a large company. It's just John and I, and so we're independent. We're focused solely on helping our clients. We don't have a large firm that we have to report back to. We also work with anyone. We have no minimums because we recognize there's a lot of people out there that have need for financial advice, investment advice, and there's a lot of firms out there that have, you know, $1 million minimums, $500,000 minimums. We made a point early on to have no minimum. We want to help people who need some advice. And I'd also just say that John and I, with our backgrounds, he's a financial planner, I'm an investment guy, I think we bring a very broad range of skills and can really help our clients with a whole range of things.
There's one other thing I'd mention on that thing is that we invest just like our clients. So you'll see us putting the same, if you saw our personal portfolios, it would just look just like what we were recommending to clients as well.
So, gentlemen, if I am preparing to take the entrepreneurial leap, how should one or myself position my investments?
Well, I tell you that let's take a step back and let's look at the total financial picture, because starting a business is obviously a total commitment. Time, effort, attention, etc. So the first thing I'd say that's crucial for any entrepreneur is to have as much flexibility in their personal financial situation as possible. All right, and we define that in a lot of traditional ways, paying down debt, building up cash, and things like that. But flexibility can also appear in unusual areas. For example, we tell anyone who maybe is employed and getting ready to take the entrepreneurial leap, that's a great time to go out in the marketplace, go to your bank, try and get a home equity line. That's a revolving line of credit secured by typically a second lien on your home. If you need the money, you can just write a check or transfer it into your checking account. If you don't need the money, there's no interest accrued or anything like that on it. So that's a great flexible tool, and usually you can borrow larger sums of money on that than you can on a credit card, and it's much less expensive money. Another thing that people should consider doing, this is for maybe the entrepreneur who's been in the house for 10 years, paid down their 30-year mortgage for 10 years, what a great opportunity to increase their financial flexibility by going out and refinancing that mortgage back into a new 30-year mortgage. If they're paying $2,000 a month in principal and interest payments, maybe they knock that down to $1,500. That $500 reduces their need for additional savings or income from the business. Because as we all know, you know, being fellow entrepreneurs ourselves, it's great starting a business. It can be rewarding both psychically and financially, but it always seems like the financial reward takes a little longer than you plan for or expect. The other thing I'd say, which I think is a really good discipline for entrepreneurs to have right up front, is to basically make a mental commitment as to how much they're going to invest of their own financial assets into the business. And then, as opposed to being at the risk of market fluctuations, I would take that dollar amount and reduce it to cash as quickly as possible. You just can't worry about the market being up or down 20% when you may need that money to make payroll in your business or something like that. And the final thing I'd sort of stress for entrepreneurs is you really shouldn't shortchange your retirement planning either. Because outside of Social Security, that retirement planning is really all on you. You know, the other big expense most families face is college financing. But college financing, you've got other avenues you can have to sort of make that work for you. You know, there are loans, there are scholarships, there's financial aid, there's work study for your kid, so all those other things. So we just stress that would be another area you just shouldn't just ignore and say, well, the business is going to take care of everything.
Today we're joined by both Jim Wright and John Fadiman, founders of Harvest Financial Partners, that provides investment management and financial planning advice to individuals and small business owners. They both have over 25 years of investment and financial services experience. They've both joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You know, once my business has stabilized, what are some of the best ways to pull money out of the firm?
Well, we talk to a lot of business owners about one of the best ways we think to pull money out of a firm is to set up like a 401k plan or other defined contribution plan. The business you can set aside a lot more money as an individual. It's like $50,000 for a defined contribution plan versus $5,000 for an IRA. If you add your spouse in there, you could potentially get up to like $100,000 in that. The business gets a tax deduction, so Uncle Sam is effectively helping you pull money out of the business and save for your retirement. You can provide a nice little benefit for your employees as well. I mean, people like retirement savings, and you can structure it so they get a benefit from it as well. But the rules still allow you to obtain most of the benefit. We've seen plans that are set up at firms that have a decent number of employees where the owners are actually getting 70, in some cases 80% of the company contributions are going to benefit the owners, and that's still within all the rules for those kind of things. The other area I'd mention, in certain situations, and they're pretty narrow, but in certain situations, the old-fashioned pension or defined benefit plan can be incredibly favorable for, you know, owners. You could put away even more money than you can in a defined contribution plan. But again, you got to really fit a narrow window, and it's a little bit more cumbersome, so you really need to talk to an expert about whether that might make sense for you or not.
How can business results impact my investments or financial plan? I'm sure that's a good question for the listener.
Yeah, and we've seen that kind of a lot. I mean, here I'm going to work under the assumption that the business has been set up so that the tax results of the business are going to flow through to the individual owners. Okay, so that's like a sole proprietorship, a business that's taxed as a partnership, things like that. Okay, so remember how we talked before in that earlier question about how profitability maybe takes a little bit longer. And occasionally, you know, one has years where from a tax basis, the business maybe isn't profitable. In those years where you're going to have less taxable income from the business, that could potentially shelter investment income that you have. So interest, dividends, capital gains, those kind of things. If you're not going to be in a very high tax bracket because of business results, it wouldn't make sense, for example, to be invested in tax-free municipal bonds. It would make more sense to be in taxable corporate bonds. So that's kind of an example that some people can use. Another planning opportunity for business owners that we have seen on occasion is when the business is going to report a loss that can flow through to the owner's personal tax return and be used. We see a situation where an owner could potentially take money they might have in a traditional IRA and convert it to a Roth IRA. And let me just take a second on that. When you do that conversion, say $50,000 in a traditional IRA and you go to convert it to a Roth IRA, that $50,000 is subject to taxation right now. If we have a business loss, again, to make it easy, let's just say of $50,000, that'll offset that conversion income and mean that you don't have to pay tax on that conversion. That's extremely valuable because when you withdraw money from a traditional IRA, you have to pay ordinary income tax on those distributions. But when you withdraw money from a Roth IRA, you don't have to pay tax on those distributions. It's tax-free, tax-exempt, however you want to describe it. So occasionally you can get those kind of planning opportunities, which can save you a boatload in taxes and put you in a very advantageous tax situation.
What advice would you give to the younger people out there listening in who might be interested in starting a business in the future?
Well, first off, we're always in a position where we want to encourage people to take that, as you said, entrepreneurial leap. We do think it's great. John and I have been doing this for 4.5 years, and we still enjoy it. But I'd say the thing that's important, and probably some advice that I didn't take when I was starting out is be prepared to sell. I mean, in life, you're always selling something, whether it's a product, a service, an idea, yourself, you know, to get a job. You have to have conviction in that, and in what you sell, what you're trying to persuade someone to do. And that makes the process a lot easier. But you should become comfortable with the process of selling. And the sooner you can do it, the better. So I know when I started out, I tried to avoid jobs where selling was much of a component there. But today I encourage everyone to start selling as early as possible. The more comfortable you are at it, probably the more success you're going to be in business and starting your own business, because no matter what you do, if you make that leap, you're going to have to sell someone, whether it's to get some money to help finance the business or whether to convince someone to buy your product or service. So become comfortable selling as soon as you can.
How about telling our listeners where they can get more information about Harvest Financial Partners online and to also be in touch?
Well, you can contact us directly. We're located just outside of Philadelphia. Our phone number is 610-240-4740. Our website is www.harvestfinancialpartners.com, and you can email either John or I. Our emails are pretty close. It's jim@harvestfp.com or john@harvestfp.com. You can also get information on us because we do have run a model on the Covestor website, covestor.com, and you can get some more information on us there. We have a dividend strategy that's available there.
Definitely. And in conclusion, gentlemen, what tip could you leave for the listener?
Well, I think all the conversation lately in the papers has been about the fiscal cliff. And the fiscal cliff, one of the components is that tax rates are probably going up next year. Again, there's still a lot of negotiations that may take place between the White House and Congress. But right now, as things stand, it looks like income and capital gains rates are going to go up. So normally, this time of year, people are looking at taking tax losses to offset investment gains they've taken year to date. Well, this is one of those years where we might tell you that not to take a tax loss right now. In fact, maybe accelerate some gains into this year when capital gains are being taxed at 15%. Next year, they're going to go to 20%. So take your gains this year and take your losses next year. They're going to be more valuable to you then. Of course, before you implement this kind of strategy, we'd always recommend you talk to whoever prepares your taxes, or if you have a financial advisor, talk to them as well.
Certainly sound advice, very informative today. Been a pleasure to have both of you. They are Jim Wright and John Fadiman, founders of Harvest Financial Partners, that provides investment management and financial planning advice to individuals and small business owners. They both have over 25 years of investment in financial services experience. And the website of reference for information and for contact, it's harvestfinancialpartners.com. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric.
You're both very welcome, and this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.